Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. As you watch our live stream, please do know that our COVID protocols remain in place. Anyone that you see unmasked in this service is fully vaccinated, myself included, and there is ample distance between us. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine.
Good morning, good morning. How is everybody? Good, good. I can only assume that you're all smiling under your masks and you're ready to worship. So let's stand and do just that this morning. This first song goes out to Patty Langley this morning.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Yes. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship his holy name.
The sun comes up.
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Sing this out.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Still my soul will sing your praise unending.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Have a seat, please. Grace and peace to you, and good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. What a blessing it is to be with you today. What a blessing it is to be back in the Wilson Activity Center in the launch service. I hope all of you are as excited as I am. I loved hearing your voices, even behind the mask, sing loudly along with Caleb. I know we're in the process of working to get the launch band back together and going and practicing. So in the coming weeks, look forward to seeing some familiar faces back up here. So we're just excited to be back in here and to be in worship with all of you. This morning, we are continuing on with our Becoming series. Brother Hammett is going to preach about reconciliation and how we as a church are called to be a community of reconciliation. So we pray that that message is a blessing to you. When you get an opportunity this morning, please register your attendance. You can do that. You can either scan the screen if you can move fast enough, or you can scan the back of the bulletin here, and that will take you right to that form to register your attendance and also to log prayer requests, which we check every Monday. Also, if you are watching online, that QR code should be on your screen as well. A few quick minor announcements and reminders. Tomorrow is President's Day, so the church office is closed. If you have an emergency or need to get a hold of somebody, please reach out to one of the pastors. You can just reach us via our cell phone. Brother Hammett is getting ready to start a new study. It is called God Has a Dream, A Vision of Hope for Our Time. It's an 8-week study. And you can scan that QR code to register. You can contact the church office to register as well. There's a book that goes along with it. Brother Hammett has those in his office, so you'll be able to pick those up. Next Sunday is Stone Soup Sunday. It's our first Stone Soup mission of the year. And so I pray that as many of you as can or are able can join us down at Quapaw Quarter at 1:30 in the afternoon. It's a beautiful opportunity to be in fellowship, to provide a meal and just some warmth and some love to our neighbors. That will impact youth as well. We normally meet at 3:00. We're going to push back to 5:00 next Sunday so that we can be down at Quapaw and be the hands and feet that God calls us to be. And then lastly, one of the big themes of reconciliation in this community is knowing how much we are loved by God, but then also how much God calls us to be a love to others, to be that vision of grace and peace in our community. And we do that through many ways. We do that through our time, through our talents. We also do that through our financial gifts. So if you are moved to give this morning to the Mission and Ministries of Asbury, there is a basket right there on your way out. You are welcome to drop a check or whatever is best for you in there. If you'd rather give electronically, there's 3 ways. You can text to give, you can give through our website, and then also you can also mail a check to our physical property to Cheryl as well, and she will take care of that. As we think about giving of our gifts and talents, let's continue on with worship with a time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, God of mercy, God of peace, we gather this morning to praise and to glorify your name. We all come together today in different places and in different conditions. But God, we know that no matter where we are, no matter how we feel, that you meet us right there. And that it is through your love and your peace that we are able to sustain, because you are the great sustainer for all of us. God, this morning as we think about reconciliation, as we think about being a community who is called to forgive, but is also called to love and to move, may you impart on us a realization of where our time and our talents and our resources are meant to be used today, where we can best benefit and serve the community around us. Help us to be the eyes that we need to see so that we may be the hands and feet that you call us to be for your kingdom. We ask all this in your Son's holy and beautiful name. Amen.
I am a visual learner. I'm a visual person. And music is obviously audio, but this next song, it's like I can only imagine, you know, in the sense that it paints this picture of utter worship. And as I sing these words, I just picture being in front of Jesus and kneeling in wonder and awe and praise. And so I hope that this song touches your heart this morning.
lost and could not see. But you did not give up on me to save me from my guilt and shame. You stepped into the world you made, and on the cross of Calvary, you gave your life to set me free. Forever I will sing your name with hands high, heart full of praise. The King of glory, once enthroned, was laid to rest behind the stone, but death would not have final.
Can y'all hear me? Okay. I would like for all of our kids to come down. I know it's been a while since we've got to do this, but I'd love for you to come down and chat with me for a little bit this morning. Pencil. What do you notice about this pencil? You notice anything? Oh, there's no eraser. Do you have a pencil maybe that you've used before where the eraser is gone? Yeah. So when we use a pencil and we write something and we don't like what we wrote or we made a mistake, what do? We erase it, right? Well, what happens when our eraser's gone? What could we do then? We could ask someone to borrow their eraser. Has anyone put one of those cool cap erasers on the end of their pencil before? Yeah? Well, you know what? I go through a lot of pencils, okay? And I write a lot of things, and then I have to erase it, and I write along a lot of things, and I have to erase it. And that's a lot like we are. Raise your hand if you've ever made a mistake before. Yeah, I bet there's some people in here that have made a mistake today. And you know what? It's okay. Why is it okay for us to make mistakes? Because we love God. We learn from it. And what can we do? Does anyone know what we can do when we make a mistake? What? Ooh, yeah. Can we ask God to forgive us? And guess what? God forgives us over and over again. So just like you can erase over and over again, God forgives us over and over again. But guess what else? God wants us to do something too. What do you think God wants us to do? What do you think? Say sorry. What else do you think God wants us to do? Do the right thing? Do you think that God wants us to forgive other people? Yes. And God wants us to forgive other people over and over again, which can be kind of hard with our siblings, right? Brothers and sisters, kind of hard. But that's what Jesus taught us to do. So Jesus told Peter, he said, don't forgive 7 times, forgive 70 times 7 times. And that's a lot of times, right? All right. Let's pray together. Dear God, we all make mistakes and fall short. Thank you for sending Jesus to forgive us. Help us to forgive others the same way, over and over again. We love you. Amen. All right, guys. So short.
That was wonderful. I left my first mask up here, and my son had a backup mask. I think we carry these around like gum. We just seem to have so many. We have scripture reading this morning is actually 3 scripture readings. So you get 3 for the price of 1. Our first scripture reading is going to be in the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verses 3 through 5. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father really still alive? His brothers couldn't respond because they were terrified before him. Joseph said to his brothers, come closer to me. And they moved closer. He said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. Now don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me here. Actually, God sent me before you to save lives. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6, and we'll be looking at verses 27 through 37. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate just as your father is compassionate. Don't judge and you won't be judged. Don't condemn and you won't be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Our final scripture reading this morning is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 19. So then, from this point on, we won't recognize people by human standards. Even though we used to know Christ by human standards, that isn't how we know him now. So then, if anyone is in Christ, that person is part of the new creation. The old things have gone away, and look, new things have arrived. All of these new things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, God was reconciling the world to himself through Christ by not counting people's sins against them. He has trusted us with this message of reconciliation. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you, Nick, and welcome to Asbury. I'm so glad that you're with us today. It's so nice to be back in the Wilson Activity Center and to see y'all. Woohoo! Amen, amen. It's great to be with you, and we want to issue a very warm welcome to those of you who are watching online as well, whether you're watching live on Sunday morning or on the treadmill later on in the week like I do sometimes. But we're glad you're with us as well. Welcome to our Becoming series. During our Becoming series, we're talking about, in general, how salvation is a lifelong process of becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And today, we're almost to the end. Next Sunday will be the last in this series. And this is probably the most challenging sermon of all of them. I told Nick earlier in the week, I was like, I've been praying about this sermon, and I changed my mind. I said, I really feel like we need to do something other than what we planned. And what's been on my heart is the tremendous and building conflict that I see in our country politically and along racial and ethnic lines. And what we're seeing in the United Methodist Church right now, and whether or not we're going to have General Conference this year and what kind of split will come from that. And both sides' language is heating up around those issues. And, of course, we're all concerned about what's going on in the Ukraine with Russia and globally. I was reminded of a story that I just love. In 2014, you may remember that there was a lot of conflict in the Ukraine between over something that the government did, to put it in a short way, put it briefly. But what was interesting is that there were protests that erupted in the Ukraine, and in Kyiv, the protests turned violent, and the police, the government police, killed two protesters. And what was powerful, though, was that the Orthodox priests, these are the cousins of our friends up the hill, the Orthodox priests who usually stay behind the walls of their sanctuary, safe and protected, picked up their Bibles and their vestments, their liturgical vestments, and crosses and icons, and left the sanctuary and went out into the street to do ministry. They ministered to the police on the one side, they ministered to the protesters on the other, armed only with, like I say, crosses and Bibles and prayers and vestments. And so this sermon is about all of those things, is about all of those different conflicts that we see at work in our world today. And I'm going to share quite a few stories about people who decided to make a difference, a positive difference in the midst of conflict. And some of these stories are really challenging. The challenge for all of us today is, how do we take this home? How do we take this to our homes? How do we take it to our schools? How do we take it to our business places? How do we take it into our politics? How do we carry it out in our church family and in our denomination? So I want to issue that to you ahead of time before we begin. But let's begin now with a word of prayer. God of grace and unconditional love, we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every one of us, whether we're gathered here in the WAC or we're gathered together online. We pray that you will give us your Spirit so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, amen. Several years ago, there was an article in the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail is a British newspaper, and they called it a teddy bear holocaust in a museum in England. This museum had a fine collection of teddy bears. Well, a Doberman Pinscher guard dog named Barney went crazy, went on a rampage, and mauled about 100 of these teddy bears, as you can see in the picture on the screen. So what was it that set Barney off? Well, it turns out that it was Mabel. It was Mabel, Elvis Presley's teddy bear. an English Elvis collector had purchased Mabel for 40,000 pounds. That's about $1 billion. Okay, it's not really $1 billion, but it's about 75,000 U.S. dollars. And Barney saw Mabel sitting on the counter, went for her, and then proceeded to shred every bear in sight. So what could cause sweet, faithful Barney, the guard dog, to turn into a violent teddy bear slayer? Well, the vet said Mabel probably had some kind of rogue scent, but her handler hinted at something just a little more sinister: jealousy. He said, "Well, it all happened when I was over there stroking Mabel and saying what a nice little bear she was." You ever feel like Barney? Like you just want to tear, mangle, and shred everything in sight? I mean, I get that way sometimes. And what do you do? I tend to blow off steam by going to the park and walking. That's kind of my go-to. Or if I need some peace, you know, and I'm trying to deal with a situation that's really difficult, I'll go play my guitar by myself and get in a good place. But, you know, some people just let it fly. And we see that all through our culture right now, just people letting it fly. You see it in politics, don't you? Democrats and Republicans just letting anything fly between the two of them. You see it on so-called reality TV, people just saying and doing whatever they feel. No worries at all about how it impacts anybody else. You see it when parents get involved in bullying a school child. And sometimes, friends, you do see it in church. People just letting it fly. But Jesus showed us another way. Dr. King preached about this other way at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, back in 1957. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, "There is a power in love that our world has not discovered yet. Jesus discovered it centuries ago. Mahatma Gandhi of India discovered it a few years ago. But most men and most women never discover it. For they believe in hitting for hitting. They believe in an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They believe in hating for hating. But Jesus comes to us and says, this isn't the way. But there is another way. We must discover the power of love, the power, the redemptive power of love. And when we discover that, we will be able to make of this world, this old world, a new world. We will be able to make people better. Love is the only way." So how can you and I discover that way and practice it in our daily lives? Well, I have to begin with something very difficult, and that word is forgiveness. It begins with forgiveness. If somebody has hurt you and that grudge is just consuming your heart and there is no apology coming from that person, the only way that you can move forward is to forgive. If somebody has said holding a grudge is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. The late Reverend Lewis Smedes put it this way. He wrote a book called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts That We Don't Deserve. And he says that when we forgive somebody, we do four things. It could be a group too, a person or a group. The first thing is you surrender your right to get even. Second of all, you give your enemy's humanity back. Third, you get the freedom to wish that person well. And fourth, you are willing to be open to what God wills. So maybe you continue to have a relationship with that person, maybe not, but you're open to whatever God wants. And that reminds me of a young man named John Kaiser. When John was 5 years old, his father was killed in a missile attack on the USS Stark. This was in 1987. Many of us are old enough to remember young little John with his hand on his heart as they loaded his father's coffin into a plane to ship it back to the United States. A little while later, John and his mother sent a copy of the New Testament to the pilot who fired the missile. It was addressed to the man who attacked the Stark, Dad's ship, in the hope that it will show that even the son and the wife do not hold any grudge and are at the same time praying for the one who took the life of our father. Now, the only thing that Barbara recovered from her husband's quarters was a small Bible, you can see it on the screen, that she had given to him. Many years later, when Saddam fell, Barbara took that Bible to the U.S. Embassy, and they sent it on to the place where they were holding Saddam's men. At Barbara's request, the U.S. ambassador translated these words from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. These are the words of Joseph to his brothers, who sold him into slavery. "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today." Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those persecuting, who are actively persecuting you, so that you all may be children of your Father in heaven." Being perfect as God is perfect means that we must pray for our enemies and we must do good to those who hurt us. That can mean risking our reputation or even our life to save an enemy. That reminds me of a woman named Bella Freund. Several years ago, an Arab terrorist stabbed two high school students in a Jerusalem marketplace. As the man ran from the scene, a mob of angry Israelis started chasing him. Some of them pulled out guns and were ready to kill him. Well, when the man ran by her, this Israeli woman named Bella Freund stuck out her foot and tripped him. Now, Bella was what we call a Haredi. Haredi are a very, very, very strict Jewish sect. Haredi women are taught that they must never, ever touch any other man other than their husband. So Bella kicks out her foot and trips the guy, throws her body over the man to protect him. The mob started kicking her. They started spitting on her. They threatened to shoot her. But she held this man tight until the police could come there and arrest him. Later on, Bella told the reporters this. She said, "It was very simple. If you can save a life, you do it. I could not see a helpless man killed by a mob, whatever he had done. That's not the way I was brought up." One of the reporters who interviewed her later on said, "Her hatred of Arabs, her lifelong conditioning never to touch a man who wasn't her husband, all of it was set aside in a split second of truth." Jesus said, "Be merciful as your Father is merciful." Being merciful as God is merciful means that we must seek reconciliation with those who hurt us, even those who have hurt us the most deeply. The same year that the Stark was hit by the missile, the Irish Republican Army, the IRA, set off a bomb in a town called Enniskillen in Ireland. They set this bomb to explode just before the Remembrance Day celebration. Remembrance Day is their Veterans Day. 11 people died in the blast and 63 were wounded. In the rubble, there was a Methodist man named Gordon Wilson. He was there lying under the rubble with his 20-year-old daughter, Mary. As they waited rescue, they touched hands. Days later, Gordon said this, "She held my hand tightly and gripped me as hard as she could. She said, 'Daddy, I love you very much.' Those were her exact words to me, and those were the last words I ever heard her say." Speaking from his hospital bed, Gordon said, "I have lost my daughter, but I bear no grudge. I bear no ill will. Dirty talk is not going to bring Mary back to life. I shall pray tonight and every night that God will forgive them." After he recovered from his own injuries, Gordon Wilson began a crusade for reconciliation in Ireland. He took his daughter's final words of love to heart. He personally went and met members of the IRA and forgave them. And then he asked them to put down their arms. He said to them, "You've lost loved ones just like me. Surely enough blood has been spilled." Until his death in 1995, Gordon Wilson worked for peace and reconciliation in Ireland. Over and over again, he repeated the words, "Love is the bottom line. Love is the bottom line." Dr. King once said, "Love is the only force capable of transforming an enemy into a friend." And I would add, not just a friend, but family. It reminds me of a story I heard from South Africa. When the apartheid government fell in South Africa many years ago, blacks and whites both had blood on their hands in that country. Nelson Mandela and Archbishop Tutu and others formed what was called the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. And the TRC offered amnesty to both sides as long as they confessed their crimes. And most surprising of all, the commission brought perpetrators face-to-face with their victims. One elderly South African woman listened to white police officers confess to atrocities that they had committed. One of the officers, his name was Vanderbrock, confessed to killing the woman's 18-year-old son. And I will spare you the details, but suffice it to say, that murder was brutal. Brutal. One evening, some 8 years later, the same officer came to the same house and took the very same woman's husband. And before they murdered him again, brutally, her husband's last words were, "Forgive them." Well, there she sat in the courtroom with Vanderbrock right in front of her. He was awaiting judgment. The commission turned to her and asked what her wishes were in this circumstance. Calmly and steadily, this is what she said. "I want Mr. Vanderbrock to take me to the place where they burned my husband's body. I would like to gather up the dust and give him a decent burial. Second, Mr. Vanderbrock took all of my family away from me, and I still have a lot of love to give. Twice a month, I would like for him to come to the ghetto and spend a day with me so I can be a mother to him. Third, I would like Mr. Vanderbrock to know that he is forgiven by God and that I forgive him too. I would like someone to lead me to where he is seated so I can embrace him and he can know my forgiveness is real." Officer Vanderbrock fainted. And someone in the room began to sing "Amazing Grace." And everyone in the courtroom joined in. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you love those who love you, what credit do you get for that? Love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. You will be children of the Most High. You will be God's family, a community of reconciliation." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. I'm going to invite Brother Nick to come now and lead us in prayer.
With the word of God proclaimed, let us gather our hearts together and go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, God of unending peace and unending mercy, we gather here today to give you thanks for all the blessings that you pour into our lives. We come together today, God, to be in community, to praise and to glorify your name. We gather here today to hear your word proclaimed, to let it challenge us, shape our hearts, and lead us into our future as your children, as kingdom builders on this earth. This morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are angry, who are lost, who need forgiveness and who need to forgive. And that's all of us. Now this morning we pray for our Asbury community. We pray for all of those who are in need of your healing and your love. We pray this morning, God, for Clifford Smith and for June Glacier. We pray for Fred Williams and Barbara Clark. We pray for Patty Shoemaker and for Cindy Hayes. We pray for Evelyn Reeves and for Matt Cameron. We pray for Wanda Honeycutt and Megan Arnold. We pray for Lanny Langley, for Sean McNerlin, for Dave Volson, and for all of those, God, whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tip of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of those lives in a mighty and powerful way, and so we give you thanks. And above all else, God, we give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to pay a price we couldn't pay, whose victory over death broke us free from the chains of sin and from death. We thank you for his earthly ministry, for the things he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And we thank you, God, above all else, for the power of prayer, the ability to come together and to speak to you through our faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We will now join our voices and say that together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us for our last song. I had excited butterflies on my way here this morning to worship with you all. And this song is new, but it's simple. And we're going to sing Make Us One over and over again. So as an Asbury family, let's proclaim that this morning and then go out into the world to spread the love of Jesus Christ. With the Father,
one with the Father, one with the Spirit, one with the Son of God, one with our sister, one with our brother, one family by the blood. Sing this out.
thanks again for being here today. So glad to see you. And we can put up the chairs today. Last week we couldn't put away the pews. So anyway, we'll do that in just a moment. I do want to say a big thank you to Diana and to Caleb and to Nick and Nicole and to all the AV folks. For bringing this together, and we're really excited to be getting the band back and all of that in short order. If you are interested in taking that, being a part of the study that I'm going to start leading this Wednesday, let me know. I know some people had a little trouble registering with that link, so if you're interested in doing it, just get in touch with me. There's plenty of room, and I think it'll be make a positive difference in your life. Would you please receive this blessing? Go forth with Christ. With Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, amen. God bless.